From Capital Broadcasting Company and WRAL.com, this is The Wrap at NC Capital.
Good evening. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of The Wrap. I'm Laura Leslie, WRAL Capital Bureau Chief.
I'm Travis Fain, WRAL's State House reporter.
So lots of action today. The Senate, as we've told you, is moving its budget through. It got through finance this morning with no proposed amendments even.
Oh, wow.
I was surprised. So that's going to be on the Senate floor tomorrow. That's going to be a little later than usual for a Tuesday. It's going to be at 2 p.m. session tomorrow. I expect we're probably going to have that live on WRL.com, I would think.
Yeah, and I mean, they'll just do the one vote. Were they coming back in Friday? The Senate's going to work on a Friday?
I know, a miracle. But yeah, they have to because it's a two-day. You have to vote that on two separate days. So they're going to go ahead and do that so they can get it over to the House. Last I heard, anyway.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, the House tomorrow is taking up a bill we've talked about. That is the Farm Act. And so you were covering that bill today. And they took out a provision, didn't they?
Man, it is always something with the Farm Act, and it's never something simple. It's always something complicated. They took out this provision that deals with right-to-sue letters, and this is in a labor context, mm-hmm. a worker retaliation context. If a worker has a problem with their employer, feels like they're being retaliated against, they go to the Department of Labor. And the Department of Labor has some say over, or under this bill would have greater say over whether or not you could then sue your employer if the Department of Labor didn't really agree with you on what you said happened. Mm. That language has been jettisoned, but it's only jettisoned on the House side. On the Senate side, Senator Brent Jackson, the Farm Bill's sponsor, he says he's real disappointed about that and told everybody in committee, hey, we got to go back to the Senate on this, so... We're going to fight over the Farm Bill, House, Senate again, it sounds like.
I guess, and that's always the case. But it's interesting in this particular case because I'm pretty sure I heard in a committee debate over this that the Department of Labor did not request this.
I don't know where this language came from. I know the North Carolina Justice Center is fighting it, fighting against the language. Also in this bill is the biogas permitting change. Mm-hmm. That's something that's been in there for a while. The environmentalists don't like it. The farmers do like it. But that seems to be moving forward regardless. It'll be interesting to see. That bill's going to be on the floor Thursday, so tomorrow. Representative Dixon, Jimmy Dixon, in the House saying he expects a pretty bipartisan vote on it with the labor language out. So,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly. In the meantime, lots of action late in the day today. The House had session today, and they passed that the bill we were telling you about yesterday, the Free the Smiles, having to do with the school masks. It was a pretty much party line vote in the House. Representative Susan Fisher.
Three Democrats, I think, voted for that bill.
Oh,
close to party line, but three Democrats, I think.
66-2.
Didn't write it down.
Okay. But Representative Susan Fisher, pointed out what, some people had said in committee yesterday as well, that we are facing this new Delta variant, which is certainly expanding rapidly in North Carolina, like geometrically, like exponentially. And so there's concern about what that'll mean for kids going back to school in the fall. But this bill is going to go to the Senate. They're probably going to approve it, and then it's probably going to go get vetoed.
Yeah, you would think so. I mean, it leaves the power with the school board, so it is kind of more of a case by case bill as opposed to. But only a few Democrats voting for it. Usually, that's a good signal.
Yeah, and then also this afternoon, kind of a surprise conference committee report came out of nowhere, and this is on the dueling. Fix for the labor market shortages that the House and the Senate have been weighing. You might remember the Senate had a proposal to give a $1,500 bonus, I believe it was, to people who went to work within a certain time period, went back to work. So they basically, instead of the $300 a week weekly benefits, after you go back to work, you would still get a chunk of money for that. They also wanted to tighten up some of the job search requirements to actually make them a little bit more onerous. And the House had just wanted to cut the benefits, right?
That was what the House ultimately went with. They also threw some tax policy into the bill. But the Senate's plan was a no-go with the feds. The feds said, no, you can't spend the money that way. And so what we've got is we're going to cut the $300 benefits if the governor agrees, which I don't think he will. But anyway, House and Senate Republicans struck a deal to cut the $300 a week supplement that people get on their unemployment right now. It was going to run out in September, early-ish September. It would just kind of drop off within 30 days mm-hmm. of this bill passing. So, I mean, not a ton different time.
Yeah.
But only three Democrats voted for that one in the House. It was a party line vote in the Senate. So, we kind of expect the governor to veto that, but he has not said. I texted earlier and asked, and we haven't heard back. So, you know, we have to wait and see a little bit longer on that one. You would also, when you talk about tighten up the work search requirements, so if you're offered a job interview, you have to respond to that in 48 hours. You have to go to the interview, and then if the job pays at least 120% of the benefits you're getting, which wouldn't be hard because benefits are half your previous salary, you have to take the job, or you get cut off of the benefits. So that's what it does with the work search requirements. It's also got $250 million in it in child care subsidies. This is to kind of, the theory is that the extra $300 is making it hard for employers to hire. And then the kind of the counter to that is, well, it's more complicated than that, including people have nowhere to send their kids.
Right.
Because, you know, the child care centers are understaffed and have not kind of bounced back from the pandemic yet. So this is $250 million to help address that problem.
And that was actually added on the House floor, I think, by Speaker Moore back when this first went through. And I think it was pointed out this is federal funding.
It feels like it's all federal funding these days.
At this point, it kind of does.
What's not that? I mean, you probably look behind that thing. There's probably $250 million in federal COVID money over there. We should do that after we finish taping this.
Yes.
Just to be sure.
Anything else today?
Yeah, a couple things. Real quickly, the Senate budget's got money in it to do air conditioning in the prisons that don't have air conditioning. And I did confirm today, 38% of prison beds don't have air conditioning. We hear from NCCIW, the women's prison, particularly. It's a lot of it is on air conditioning. The budget plan has money to do all 38%, so everybody's bed would have air conditioning. You learned this morning in Senate Finance.
I did.
Talk about that. That's a big number we're talking about.
Yeah, so, I had been reporting, actually, on the number that I had been told, which was a sort of this $5.2 billion tax package impact over the next 5 years, which is already quite large, right? $5 billion, you know? I mean, it turns out it's more than double that.
Yeah, it's $13.9 billion over 5 years.
Yeah, that is an amazing amount of money. If you think about it, that's more than half of what they're going to spend in this year's budget that they would be removing over the next 5 years from the state's revenue stream. Of course, you've got the Democrats, of course, opposed to this idea, you know, just saying, that's a lot of money to be giving up. And, you know, it's going to be much, much harder to raise taxes if it's needed than it is to cut taxes. So they're planning to, you know, to fight that.
Yeah, I mean, they really beefed up that package. I knew they were going to juice it a little bit, but it is a real, real increase. Senator Ralph Hayes told me today, yeah, he said it's epic, but the philosophy is the same. If you're over-collecting on taxes, which is, you know, kind of the Republican way of phrasing it when we talk about the increase in the revenue forecast, then you need to return that money to the taxpayers, and they want to do so by cutting corporate and personal income taxes.
I would be surprised if the House goes along with that size of a cut. They tend to be a little bit more conservative when it comes to cutting taxes, just because they worry a little bit more about revenue streams in the future. And
at some point, Republicans have got to decide if they want to include the governor in a meaningful way in budget negotiations, which, you know, obviously tax policy is wrapped up with the budget.
Right.
Because, I mean, he's not going to go for that. And so the question then becomes, well, do you want to have a budget this year or not? And you know, it's not an obvious, yes, we do want to have a budget this year. That's not necessarily plan A.
All right. Oh, sorry.
We skipped over the biggest story of the day so far.
Go ahead.
Marijuana.
Yeah.
Medical marijuana.
Well, it is and it isn't, because this bill didn't get a vote today. It's not clear when it's going to get a vote. But it is, as far as I can tell. I mean, I spent some time this morning going back through legislative records and searching for medical marijuana bills. I don't think there's ever been a Senate committee hearing on medical marijuana.
I can't think of one. Of course, you've got the longer history than I do on it. I can tell you this.
There's been bills filed, but there's never been a hearing.
Until the unemployment thing happened today, this was the only bill anyone asked me about. You know, we get stopped in the hallways. People want to know this,
right,
that. You know, what are you covering? What are you writing about? It was marijuana. And I mean, not just from the many, many hippies down here, from the short hairs, too.
Oh, absolutely. Senator Bill Raven, the primary sponsor of this bill, standing up there and in committee today and just talking about what it was like to have cancer and talking about, you know, the difference that this bill could make in the lives of people who are suffering from ridiculous amounts of pain. So I thought, you know, he gave quite compelling remarks, I thought.
He did, and a number of veterans did. I mean, one man said that he was staring down the barrel of his own gun at one point because he was in so much pain.
He said he'd been given 23 different drugs by the VA at the same time to manage his physical and mental trauma that he got PTSD in combat.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a lot of like cutting edge stuff happening with marijuana these days where people say, well, this blend of type of strand or whatever might not help you, but this one does, and you can kind of find one that helped you.
Yeah.
And PTSD, apparently, people really feel like it helps with
more.
PTSD, with pain, as opposed to opioids or muscle relaxers. I think one guy was talking today about just laying in bed because he was knocked out from the muscle.
So doped up, yeah.
And so why will you not allow me to try marijuana? And I don't know that I've ever heard a reasonable answer to that question. Why will you allow them to drink? Why will you allow them to take opioids? And why this and not that?
And that was a point that a couple of lawmakers made today, including Senator Michael Lazzaro, who is a new freshman this year, but represents an area with a lot of military folks, and said kind of the same thing. You know, if we're going to be throwing these, you know, opioids and tranquilizers and muscle relaxants at these guys, I mean, this seems like a more responsible way to handle that problem, you know, if people choose to do it that way. So, you know, it was an interesting committee meeting. You know, there were a couple of social conservatives, the folks you would expect, Reverend Mark Creech, and of course Jerry Royal from the NC Family Policy Council, talking about, you know, their concerns about the bill. They cited research that shows that in other states where they have done this and legalized medical marijuana, that it's sort of been a step toward recreational legalization, or that it's been so wide open. I think the example they gave
and
was
it gets abused. I mean, like, people get a prescription and then they either give it to someone else, or they, you know, they didn't really need the prescription. I mean, I think that's, we'd be fools to expect that if you pass this, it doesn't get abused.
Right. Well, I mean, one thing that they did not include that they were asked about was chronic pain.
Yeah.
Debilitating pain, because apparently, while that may be something that this would be good for, it is kind of the loophole that allows it to be really abused in some other states.
Yeah, there's a specific, I think, half dozen or so ailments.
More like a dozen, but yeah.
Okay, there you go. but it is laid out in the law, and it just, you know, I've covered medical marijuana in multiple states now. I've been to a lot of meetings like today's with really powerful emotional testimony where people say, I may be breaking the law, but it's improving my life. I have yet to hear anyone come before a committee and say, I used marijuana and it's making my life worse. I've heard religious conservatives come and, you know, as a lobbyist make that argument that it does happen. I've yet to hear an actual real person who has this lived experience from themselves or one family member. And I mean, like I said, I've covered it in at least two states, maybe three, and it comes back year after year after year.
Yep. Well, so I think that pretty much sums up today. We don't know when that's going to get a vote.
Maybe a while. It sounded like it's not set for a vote at all.
But I will say that Raven said today in committee that he intends to see it through the process, whatever that happens to turn out to be.
And if you look at the committees that it's got to go through, it's real interesting about who can have influence over who and who might be for it, who might be against it. So that could continue to be fascinating. House is at 11 a.m. tomorrow.
Yeah, they're going to have the Farm Act, and then the Senate's going to be at 2 with the first of those two votes on the budget. So tune in tomorrow. We will catch you up on everything here at NC Capitol. Thanks.
This podcast is a production of WRAL.com, part of the Capitol Broadcasting Podcast Network. If you like the show, we'd appreciate you giving us a review and sharing it with your friends. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts or your favorite listening app.